Hey, all you right side ruffians out there, you are listening to Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right.
I'm right side.
And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right, covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation. I'm talking about this show sends its signal way on down south of Birmingham, up north of Huntsville, Tuscaloosa, back to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, and Mississippi, all thrown in just for good measure. All right, hey, going to the text lines real quick. Brian from Huntsville pulled over and says, I had to pull over on rednecks, beer cans, and shotgun shells. He said, invade my country, I shall say, hold my beer. Brian from Decatur says, crazy me, my wife and son were watching it too last night. He is 12 and never saw, talking about Top Gun Maverick. They were watching his, yeah. So Brian from Decatur says he and his wife and son were watching it last night. Raise up that child right. That's what I'm saying. Teresa from Town Creek says, all the bubbles will be saying, hold my beer. I'll be right back. So, Raven from Russellville says, may the Lord have mercy on anyone coming for one of my kids, because I won't. Yep. Bill from Hartsell. Nope, I can't. Hang on, I got like multiple texts in a row, so I'll come back to that one. Tony from Piedmont says, wonder if, I think your voice texted for me, Tony, and it didn't come out right. It says, when Adam and Eve eating the forbidden fruit from the tree of knowledge had anything to do with artificial intelligence in the end times. I don't know what he's telling me. Okay, we'll come back to that one, Tony. And then I got a caller on the line, so let me just grab, is that Alan from Hartsell? Alan Hartsell, how you doing?
I'm doing wonderful. How about you?
I'm good. I'm good. What's on your mind?
1946. I told Boomer, I'm a history nut anyway.
Okay.
My late wife always said that. But in 1946, the Japanese admitted they never had planned to invade the continental U.S. because everyone had a gun behind a tree. They were smart enough to figure out that that ain't going to happen. Have a big day.
All right. We'll see you, Alan. Take care, man. Yeah. I mean, bottom line is, you know, an armed citizenry is one of the means by which you preserve freedom. So, yeah, I knew we'd get some response out of that that audio.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
It was too good. All right, listen, we're moving to number two on the Triple Dipper. So ESG, you hear me talk about it all the time, or not all the time, but once in a while. ESG, environmental, social, governance. So the World Economic Forum, Klaus Schwab, and the head of BlackRock, largely, collaboratively began to push for what they call the Great Reset. If you're not familiar, this is, by the way, that sounds like such a conspiracy. That sounds like such a, you know, Bond movie plot. But it's real. You can look it up. I mean, they openly talk about, they call it the Great Reset. And the Great Reset moves towards what they call not shareholder, but stakeholder opportunities. What does that mean? That means we all have an equal stake in society, and the outcome of our world means that everybody needs to do good things. Good things, by the way, can translate as woke things. So environmental, social, governance. Just a quick refresher on it. What this is that literally within the financial sector, the insurance sector, and truthfully the corporate sector, you're seeing people that are not elected to pass laws, they're not, trying to set public policy. They want to drive public policy on issues that the woke left cares about. Environmental, social, governance. Environmental, does your company do enough to support the Green New Deal? Are you actively pursuing climate change policies? Are you looking at great ways to do offsets for your carbon footprint? All of these things are not necessarily akin to the idea of making a profit for your company. You got to spend money to do these things. Well, you got to also take a stand on stuff. I mean, your company makes soft drinks. Your company makes widgets. Your company makes guns. But how carefully do you consider your carbon footprint? All right, that's environmental. Social. Well, it's not social like, you know, good things for society. It's social like leftist agenda. Are you out there really celebrating Pride Month with the LGBTQ2IA+ acronym, organizations? Do you have a rainbow flag? Are you posting things in support of the gay agenda on your company website? Do you have transgender-friendly policies at your workplace? Are you openly, by the way, stating these things so the world can see your virtue signaling? Because that's important. You can't just do it. You got to tell the world you do it. And if you do, we'll also raise your ESG score because you're transgender, social friendly, and whatever other social agendas they have. And then there's governance. Are you one of those who will openly oppose when a legislative body attempts to pass a law that prevents transgender therapies on kids or prevents pornography in schools or, for that matter, promotes school choice? Or how about voter ID, that evil thing that says you got to actually prove who you are before you're allowed to vote? Are you one of those companies that will actively take a stance against those things? If you will, we'll give you a better ESG score. And then what happens is, here's how I translate. Here's why it matters. Why are they doing this? What's the carrot, the stick? What's the deal? The carrot is, hey, get out there and do this stuff. And then we will give you a score. And then when you're applying for a loan at one of the major banks to get the credit you need to keep your company afloat or expand or do the things you got to do, guess what? It won't be your credit score that matters. It won't be your shareholder profits that matters. It'll be your ESG score. Underwriting has considered your loan, Mr. So-and-so, and we know you want to make more widgets, and we think the expansion of your company would certainly bring more jobs to the area. But we recognize your ESG score is low, so we just don't feel like you're woke enough. So we've decided not to give you the loan. Or we're going to give it to you at a higher interest rate. Really? That's happening, y'all. Or how about this? Shareholders who look at their company and they invested their money. They saved up. They can't wait. They're gonna buy stock in that company because that company's kicking it, man. They're going to make a profit. And guess what? Honey, we invested some of our retirement dollars in that company, and watch what happens. We're going to be rich. Oh, we didn't make as much? Oh, did we make anything? Oh, what happened? Well, they got away from their charter. They quit making great widgets because they were so busy chasing climate change. But I thought they were a widget company. They were. Now they're an ESG company. Wow. Or how about this? Then you have things like the fight between Disney and DeSantis. What's that all about? Well, it's about a company that took action against a governmental body for daring to do what it was elected to do, which is, oh, by the way, enact laws and enforce them. And the company, with no elective control whatsoever, decides that their mission in life is to pursue an ESG pattern of behavior that led them to bite the hand that feeds them. And now what happens? Now their stock has plummeted. People aren't wanting to buy their merchandise or watch their films the same way they used to because they keep pushing an agenda that drives their stock into a place where the shareholders are like, wait a minute. Hey, you shareholders. Hey, you dirty shareholders, you stop that. This is important. We got ESG to worry about. We're not worried about shareholders anymore. Now we're worried about stakeholders. Stakeholders. But then the other thing that happens is this. Within every state, you have your state retirement plans. State employees, they go to work, oftentimes for less wage than they could in the private sector. Sometimes they're bureaucrats, but a lot of times they're just good people doing good things, going to work every day, clocking in, clocking out. And they expect that at the end of their term of service, if they've vested in the state retirement plan, that they'll have a retirement. Most of the times, it's not a defined contribution. It's actually just going to wind up being a guaranteed, retirement plan that they draw a pension from. It's a plan that, like in Alabama, has a quote-unquote guaranteed rate of return, which means if the rate of return is not good, if you didn't know this, by the way, in Alabama, you have a mandatory 8% guaranteed annual rate of return. Where else in the world can you get a guaranteed 8% rate of return? Well, they don't. What happens is every year they don't make the 8%, which is quite often, the legislature has to prop it up to the level of a as if they'd reached 8%. And then the retirement systems of Alabama takes credit. Well, we got your 8% return. Yeah, with $900 million the legislature had to give you to get it there. But what happens if that portfolio is invested in companies that have decided that their rate of return for shareholder advances is not the same as it used to be. Not important. Well, now your state retirement plans to the tune of multi-billions of dollars begins to lose value, and they have to come back to the legislature and get more tax dollars to prop them up. The second and third order effects of ESG are amazing. Amazing. But listen, I'm going to tell you right now, part of the second and third order effects of ESG is not just on your state retirement plans. It's not just on things that, you know, irritate you when you invest a few hard-earned dollars in a company you thought was kind of cool. They can have true economic impacts on culture overall. So when we get back from this break, I'm going to go ahead and just tell you about one country that went ESG heavy. And Lord, they got a great score. They have a 98.1, one of the highest in the world. And their economy's collapsing, literally collapsing, with 54% inflation. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, ESG in, ESG out. Number two on the Triple Dipper. We'll be right back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right, where common sense is a superpower. Ryan from Hazel Green says the Great Reset was planned for 2030. They're failing at their reset, so they're doing everything they can to fast track it. Quote, you will own nothing and you will be happy is all I needed to hear. No, thank you. Agreed. And then John from Huntsville texted in, Boomer, he says that clip you played reminded him of an episode of British TV in a car show. Anyway, We might need to find a way to post that one to our own social media if we can. Do you already do it, or can you? See if you can figure that thing out, because it came from one social media platform, and I don't know how to transfer it to another, but it was worth it. So I mentioned right before the break, and this one's going to lap over to the top of the hour before we finish it up. ESG in, ESG out. So ESG has been all the rage, right? The Great Reset. Just, you know, hey, this is going to be wonderful. You won't own anything. You know, environmental, social, and governance issues take precedence over shareholder profits. And by the way, I'll just tell you right now, as an attorney, there are opportunities out there for shareholders to file suit against the companies they bought stock in. It's called a shareholder derivative action. It's when they believe that there is something that has been done that has diminished the value of their stock. I'm oversimplifying it, but that literally there is a means by which you can seek legal redress in the courts for companies going down a road that does not benefit the stockholders, or that for some reason actually may even show having taken advantage of something that left the stockholders in a precarious position. All right, that being said, what happens when you go ESG all in, man? I mean, I'm talking about, hey, we're for this, we'll show you. Well, keep in mind, just like the U.S. debt is in the news right now, that nations need lending too. They have bonding, they have national debt, and they want to look good, some of them. Man, hey, World Economic Forum, Great Reset people, all you national, international banks, all you know, bond underwriters, hey, we're the country and we want some ESG recognition. What do we got to do? Well, here's one for you. Sri Lanka, Daily Caller, story that came out last year. You may recall that Sri Lanka pretty much had a coup, and it was a true insurrection, but it was a populist uprising, and it was like they stormed the Bastille, man. And it didn't take long for it to come into effect, because what the leadership of Sri Lanka did is drive their country, the whole country, into a economic collapse. They have now been running out of fuel, and they're facing the worst economic crisis in literally decades. Why? Because they went all in on the idea of having an ESG score that was high, and so the first thing they did was they banned chemical fertilizers. What? Yes. They banned chemical fertilizers in order to implement green farming practices as a matter of law. It drastically reduced crop yields. It damaged their trade balance. And one economist from the Daily Caller says the decision to overnight shift away from synthetic fertilizers was an absolute disaster. It says that Sri Lanka, in a last-ditch effort to stave off economic collapse after an allegedly climate-friendly ban on artificial fertilizers, is not working out. They have been racked with poverty, inflation, fuel shortages on a massive scale. The prime minister declared Tuesday the country has now gone bankrupt. This is last summer, by the way. The prime minister said our economy has faced a complete collapse. By the way, I think that's the replacement prime minister. The other one was ousted. They literally broke down the gates to his home, raided his home, had pictures of people standing around in his personal gym and, you know, hanging out and all that. They had farmers blocking streets and ousted the prime minister of the country. But it goes on to say, agriculture is not just built on science. It's built on decades and centuries of trial and error and hard-won experience. There's a certain degree of know-how in markets and in certain areas where the government should defer to the expertise of people in the markets, people who are practitioners, not just bureaucrats. Well, get this. Since all that happened, they have now got, by the way, you would be happy to know, Sri Lanka has an almost perfect ESG score at 98.1. 98.1. The United States is just a mere 50. Mm. But ESG score of 98 has Sri Lanka's inflation at 54.6%. Food prices rose 80.1%. Transportation costs went up 128%. And 500,000 people have sunk into the poverty level in a country that was not known for being rich and wealthy anyway. And that's just last year in Sri Lanka. Now, Sri Lanka, obviously their economy was more fragile. I like to think that ours is a little more robust. But folks, I'm going to tell you, what you just saw there was ESG crush a country. And you have to look at that as a microcosm of what can happen if you're allowed to go down this road. Capitalism actually works. It does. I mean, capitalism works. The free market actually works. When you have somebody that can make a widget and somebody comes along who can make a better, cheaper widget, then guess what? The first widget company has to either up their game or go out of business. It's survival of the fittest, man. But what that does for the consumer is it maximizes your dollar. It gives you the ability then to buy more widgets at the best price, as opposed to the company that says, well, you know, it's going to cost more to make this, but we're going to be more green. Or it's going to cost more to make this, but we're going to limit our workforce and make sure that we have the right number of transgenders and others of different makeups and not hire the best people per se, just hire glass ceiling breakers. Or they're going to fight back against the local government. Oh, by the way, the government that gives them their license to operate. And then next thing you know, they're not doing as well and it costs more to make their widgets. And so where do they transfer that cost to? The consumer. Now they got fewer widgets on the market, but the widgets they have cost more. And then what do? And they turn to the government for a bailout. That's the way it works. So ESG, we're going to talk about it. Where is it in Alabama right now? Is the legislature taking any action? By golly, they are. I will tell you that if we can get the Alabama House of Representatives on board with what this passed in the Senate, that we're going to have one of the strongest anti-ESG laws in the nation. You guys stay tuned. I'll tell you all about it right here in Alabama as we consider what is happening. ESG, I don't like it. ESGN, oh, it was in. I'm saying ESG, it's about to go out. I hope. It just depends on what we can get done. Folks, I'm just telling you, we got plenty of stuff to do. But one of the things we've got to do is save our economy. We can't sit idly by and just assume that liberals in office are ever going to make the right decisions. The 10th Amendment actually has a purpose. States like Alabama have to pass laws that protect us against ridiculous non-elected officials making regulatory burdens that ruin our personal economy. Look at Sri Lanka. Take that as a microcosm of what can happen. All right, folks, more on that when we get back. ESG in, ESG out. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right.
Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side studios. Man, the local, the state, the national, sometimes the international. And we cover down all of it. Like the dude just said, solid conservative and just plain right. Hour number three. And by the way, Boomer, this is an intervention.
Oh, no.
you're going to have to start drinking coffee, man.
I can't do it. I can't do the coffee.
Boomer needs to drink coffee. Don't y'all agree? I think we should get Boomer connected with coffee.
Connected with coffee.
That's right.
Oh, my goodness.
What's a man got to do? Get himself a cup of coffee.
It's just that, you know, that thing.
Time. Coffee.
Oh, I'd forgotten about that.
Yes.
What's that from?
Oh, Big Dave sent it to us.
I'd forgotten about that. That was Big Dave from our Birmingham affiliates.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. That was not planned.
That was not planned.
That was awesome. That was a total spontaneous. I was trying to poke fun at you, and you came right back with a sound effect. That was pretty hilarious. All right. Hey, listen. Go to the text lines real quick. By the way, if you want to text in or if you want to text in for the very first time, 833-687-4448. That's 833-68-RIGHT. And by the way, if you text for the first time, like I said earlier, just text the word right side to that number. Right side, 833-68-RIGHT. And then you'll get an automated message back. What do you got?
Chappie from Madison sent an awesome picture of you on a billboard. It's a giant, it's a giant Phil.
Wow,
look at that.
Thanks, man. Is that one of our Birmingham or Huntsville billboards? I don't know which. It's Chappie from Madison,
yeah,
so I guess.
It's Birmingham.
Well, okay, cool. Thanks, man. Appreciate you, chap. And then Bill from Hartsville just texted in and said, yeah, what happens when an NFL team hires a glass breaker? They better produce. And what he's pointing out is if ESG is going to start getting you to, you know, revise your hiring practices and be far more inclusive and yada, yada. I get it. You can't discriminate against people for, you know, their gender or pregnancy or disability, but you're allowed to have reasonable accommodations. But at the same time, you're allowed to have bona fide occupational qualifications that say whether they can or cannot perform the job. But all that to say, you can't just diversify your workforce with glass ceiling breakers because, like he points out, you don't see teams doing that. Teams want the best athletes so they can win the most games.
The moment the teams start doing that is the moment they're going to start losing all the revenue because nobody's going to come watch the games.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. TL from Huntsville also says these experiments like ESG farming, they've dispensed with science and do not use test group or control groups because that would clearly and easily demonstrate that ESG does not work. Instead, the whole group or country suffers from the experiment, or perhaps destruction was their intent in the first place. Aha! 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 As we ate the gefilte fish. Yeah, aha! You're right, T.O., you're right. I think the breakdown of things was right to begin with. You might want to know, though, that in Alabama, your legislature is taking some steps to avoid this. Story here on Fox News made national news. Alabama legislators this past Thursday advanced a bill that would prohibit the state from contracting with companies that refuse to work with fossil fuel businesses and gun makers, among other things. The measure, which cleared the Alabama Senate on a 27-8 vote, which, by the way, is a party line vote, 27 Republicans, 8 Democrats, is part of a wave of legislation introduced in other conservative states and even the federal government targeting investing based upon environmental, social, and governance factors. The bill now goes to the State House of Representatives. I'm going to tell you right now, if you, it's a bill carried by Republican Senator Dan Roberts. It's Senate Bill 261. It's now got to go through the House process. They are getting short on time. I'm of the mind that if you know how to reach your state representative, you should contact them and say you want Senate Bill 261 to pass. And Dan Roberts, a great guy, a Republican from Mountain Brook, he said the Alabama Senate made it clear we want businesses to focus on growing and expanding and not working to push political agendas with left-wing ESG policies. So here's what the bill does. Separate story, same topic from WSFA. WSFA down in Montgomery. Senate Bill 261 would be among the strongest anti-ESG legislations in the nation to protect investors and funds in Alabama. Says if a company's values don't align with certain topics in the bill, it can't do business with any local or state government. Republicans say this is to protect taxpayer money from being spent on liberal agendas and woke ideas. Democrats say the bill will hurt business in Alabama. It's not going to hurt business in Alabama because you know what it does? It promotes profitability. That's going to wind up making the shareholders happy. That's going to make the consumer happy. It's going to make the state happy. They're going to grow and be able to, you know, hire more employees. The bill, here's the deal. The bill specifies that the state of Alabama and local governments will refuse to do business with a business that they'll refuse to do business with businesses that are either terminating their activities with or otherwise taking action against, intended to penalize, or inflicting economic harm on, or limiting commercial relations with, or changing or limiting the activities of a company because the company engages in exploration, production, utilization, transportation, sale of fossil fuels, okay, or engages in, facilitates, or supports the manufacture, import, distribution, marketing, or advertising sale or lawful use of firearms or ammunition, okay. By the way, that fossil fuel piece also includes timber and mining and agriculture, thank you very much, and does not meet or is expected to meet or does not commit to meet environmental standards. In other words, Greenpeace can't set the tone for what we're allowed to have in Alabama. Does not meet or expected to meet or does not commit to meet corporate employment or board compositions, meaning that you can't say, well, we're not going to give you a loan, company, because you didn't have the right number of transgenders and unqualified, you know, demographics on your board of directors. That's just ridiculous. And does not facilitate or is not expected to facilitate or access to abortion or sex or gender. In other words, what it's saying is, if you're a company that's against investments in fossil fuels and timber, if you're a company that's against supporting the manufacture import of firearms and ammunition, if you're a company that's promoting the idea of transgender therapies on minors, if you're a company, by the way, that's promoting abortion, then guess what? State of Alabama and the local communities are not going to be doing business with you. You can still sell your products here. Private citizens can buy them. But you're not going to get big government contracts. You're not. And I think that's a great thing. We got to get people back to recognizing that we're a free market, capitalistic state. By the way, it's not just Alabama. It's all over the place. We're one of a number of states that are pushing this. And get this, even Democrats are starting to figure it out. Daily Wire has a piece from just about 30 days ago. Kentucky Governor Andy Beshear, Democrat, latest prominent Democrat to turn against his own party in the environmental social governance movement known as ESG. He signed it. Joe Manchin, John Tester, both Democrats up for re-election, by the way, have also come out and railed against Joe Biden pushing this kind of thing. I told you what happened with Sri Lanka. Let me tell you about a latest trend, though. ESG in, ESG out. Guess what's happening? We have a whole new term. Story here off a website called fastcompany.com. Greenwashing is apparently a term used to talk about a company that tries to pretend they do a lot of environmental stuff, but they don't do near as much as they say they do. What? It's a thing, apparently. Yeah, we're big. We're good. Green. Green over here. Green all the way. Whoop, whoop, whoop. But they're only half green. I don't know. I'm just saying. But here's the other one. The latest trend is not greenwashing. It's green hushing. Boomer's like, what?
Green hushing.
You just can't make this crap up.
You can't.
Green hushing.
Hushing.
What would you imagine? Just take a guess. What are we talking about here? Green hushing.
Ooh, I don't know. I'm going to mess it up. I don't know.
You're not going to mess it up.
I'm just going to mess it up.
You can't mess up crap like this.
Green hushing. Let's just say that they're, but you already said that part. I was going to say trying to be ESG, but not letting people know because.
There you go.
Oh, okay.
You nailed it.
Because they don't want to lose their revenue.
That's exactly right. They're trying to keep their ESG score up, but they don't want their profits to go down. So they do some stuff. And they report it to the right people. They don't tell everybody else.
Oh. Throw it under the rug.
It's green hushing. There it is. Throw it under the rug.
There it is.
There it is. What is green hushing? Green hushing refers to companies purposely keeping quiet about their sustainability goals, even if they are well-intentioned or plausible, for fear of being labeled as green washers. Can't be a green washer.
No.
Safer to be a green husher. How about this? Go make your freaking widgets. There's an idea.
Yeah.
I mean, this story goes on and notes that, like, some of the places they do this are like vacation rentals. They note that companies feared that by broadcasting their sustainability practices, customers might believe their vacation experiences would be worse. Well, yeah. We're going to have to spend more money for a toilet that won't flush as hard because you got less water in the toilet for flushing because you're sustainable. We've got a power grid that's partly fueled by windmills, but we can't come there in the winter because they might freeze up, so we won't come. You know, just on and on. They also mentioned pushback over supermarkets labeling their bananas as fair trade. Might make people ask, what else in here is not fair trade? It's not going to make them ask. I guarantee you. Just put the bananas out there. People are going to buy them. I'm just saying.
Oh, man.
Says many companies are choosing not to talk about it simply for fear that customers will see the glass as being half empty, not half full. And they don't know what to do. Some of the companies are confused, like Kroger, the grocery market chain.
Oh, yeah.
They're confused. They're like, what do we say? We don't know when to say it. Do we say it when we're 100%? Or can we brag about being 50%? Is that not good enough? We don't know what to do. So they green hush.
So they green hush.
We'll do some green stuff. We won't talk about it much.
Hopefully, hush puppies.
It's unreal. Unreal. All right, folks, ESG is just a freaking mess. It just really is. It's antithetical to the common sense of the free market and capitalism. It is literally woke agendas being pushed out on society by people who are not elected, by the way, to set public policy. It has got to stop. And in Alabama, we're pushing right now for it to stop. So if you know your state representative, tell them you want Senate Bill 261, which just passed last week, in the state Senate, the anti-ESG bill. If you can't remember the number, just tell them that anti-ESG bill. We want it to pass. Send it to Governor Ivey. Get her to sign it. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, coming right back.